Got Representative Barnett, if she will give the invocation, please.
Sure. Yes, ma'am. Father God, we bow before you today and we just thank you for every single blessing, grace, love, every mercy that you extend to us on a daily basis, Father. And just be with us as we come through this meeting, Father. Just have your hand in everything that we do. We welcome your Holy Spirit here, Father, so that we can be moved to do your will and to fulfill your glorious kingdom. And just be with all of those who have loved ones who are struggling today, Father, whether it be physically or emotionally or mentally. Just be with our citizens, Father, and love us and nurture us, because we love you and you are the one true King, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Representative Jennings is excused from the meeting today. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green?
Present.
Joyce Deer?
Present.
Dodie Barnett?
Present.
James Jennings, Rufus Scott.
Here.
Madam Chair, you've got four present and one absent.
Four present and one absent constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. Next is the approval of minutes from May the 8th. And I think everyone got the email on the minute.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes with any needed corrections.
A motion by Representative Deer to approve the minutes with any needed corrections. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Roll call, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. The minutes have been approved. Now to order of business. The Shelter Fire Department. I think you are wanting repairs, monthly repairs on your equipment.
Yes.
Are there any questions? You want to just kind of go over what you're going to repair your truck.
Yeah, I'm down there. We need an update on the chainsaw. We had nozzles and repairs, went too low. That was the needs. Some of the needs we had.
What kind of? Had a pretty rough season this year. In fact, we're still working on trucks.
Are you?
Yes. We're about to get them. We got one that's down right now. I think we'll get it back this week or so.
Does anyone have any questions? You know the amount is $5,000 that's given to the fire department or the rural fire.
Really appreciate it.
Very much.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll make that motion, Madam Chair.
Motion by Representative Scott to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. A roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. That motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. TR 17-0075, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a provider agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Aetna Health, Inc. for the Department of Health. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is just a standard renewal of our Aetna contract for us to bill Aetna with. So nothing out of ordinary, just a renewal.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Tony Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 17076, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a U.S. Foods customer account application on behalf of the Muscogee Creek Nation Medical Center. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Motion do pass.
Motion Representative Barnett for do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Okay. Thank you again. Madam Chair, this resolution is going to allow us to switch from Sysco Foods over to U.S. Foods. We've done the math, and we think this is going to save us about $14,000 a year. Sysco Foods is the same vendor that we use at the rehabilitation hospital, so this is going to be a nice little savings for the medical center. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Just in general, I mean, what do you account for the savings? Just trying to be competitive, or is it lower quality food?
It's just lower cost. It's being able to buy and consolidate all your stuff into one buying group. Right now, we're buying some things here and some things there, and it's going all over the place. And U.S. Foods is just a bigger wholesaler that we're able to buy just because we buy more. We find that practice pretty common in the healthcare world, where you can consolidate buying power.
Okay. Thank you, Manager.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 17078. A tribal resolution to the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Elizabeth Yohola to serve on the Muscogee Creek Nation Citizenship Board. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion do pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for a do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Hello.
Hi.
You want to tell us just a little about yourself? I know you've been on the board for how many years now?
This will be my third term. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I started Indian Health as a office clerk, and I don't know whether you've got copies of my resume, and you can see that I've been involved with registration with all my career, and that's just kind of in my blood, you know. It's just, I've learned a lot from that, you know, and working with government, follow policies, procedures, also in my career, different places for different departments. I've learned things that I can bring into citizenship to better our department. Like I can bring things that I've learned throughout the years into our department for improvement. You know, and once I got in there, I saw a lot of things that we were doing within the government that I had said Creek Nation wasn't doing. It could have been better, done better. You know, like our research and keeping presenting our cases and just different things like that. So, you know, and I'm not taking all the credit, the other people, you know, we've all brought different ideas to our department just to make it better and improve through technology. And I know we are doing things better, but we can always improve on anything and everything. So, and customer service, I had to deal with that, and I was the department head for different departments. So I've got a past worker that worked with me, Rhonda Lowe, so you can ask her if I've been a good supervisor or not. I mean, it's just...
I think you got a thumbs up.
But, yeah, I really like working with citizenship, and a lot of families that I've known throughout my years, like working with Indian Health, the different clinics that I've worked at, you know a lot of family and people. And as far as Dolls Rose, you know, you kind of know who's who and where they're coming from and things like that. And I believe in honesty and integrity and, you know, and the rules are rules. You can do your personal opinions or anything in that. So I feel like I'd be an asset.
I feel like you've done a good job. So,
well, thank you.
Are there any questions?
No
questions?
What one thing would you improve?
What would I improve? I have, you know, like I say, I did some of the cases that we reviewed earlier. It was presented by one person. But I have improved or will improve, you know. But I'm kind of like a visual person, and I like to see things that are done. I had brought up at our cabinet meeting, one time, I had a wild idea of why could Creek Nation do a census like the United States government does, just to find out where our people are, how many is there, you know, children, elders, things like that. But that's what I'd like to see is Creek Nation do a census. And I presented that to the cabinet, but then the geospatial kind of took over that. But I come up with some crazy ideas sometimes, you know. But it's things that I'd like to see improvement in our department. There's a lot of things we can do, you know, but we've got to do one thing at a time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Jody Burnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And she got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Planning. Can we come back at planning session?
Next is TR-17-079, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a standard fire alarm cells, monitoring, inspection, and services contract for services at the Eufaula Dormitory site. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion for a due pass by Representative Barnett. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deer. Discussion?
Good afternoon. So we have a couple hundred smoke alarms at the dormitory, and they're all connected to a fire monitoring panel, and this company basically monitors 24/7, so should any of them go off, they'll notify the local fire department and us. And it's a cost of $360 a year.
Oh, wow.
Are there any questions?
This is a new system that we just put in place.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Jody Burnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Trey got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR-17-080, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute an order form and a service agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Child Plus. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion to postpone indefinitely.
Motion by Representative Barnett to postpone indefinitely. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Dear?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That TR-17-080 is postponed indefinitely. TR-17-083, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Eugenia Tiger to serve on the Muscogee Creek Nation Election Board. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Ms. Tiger.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yourself. I know we all know you, but tell us again.
Again. Well, right now I'm chairperson of the senior committee and senior citizens over in Okemah, and I'm on the advisory board for the seniors in Okmulgee for the whole nation. I basically work with the community as a community person, and I do a lot of cooking and going out and helping everybody. I'm just a community person, I think, and when people call on me, I try to do a good job, and I feel like that I'm out there for any citizen that I can answer a question if I need to, and I need to kind of direct them in the right way if they need to have something done. I do that, and then I basically just kind of an all-around community person. And I would love to serve on the election board. I did it before, and I felt like that it was a good job to, you know, branch out and make sure that, you know, we had a lot of things going on for the election office and making sure that we do a good job every time that when I was on the board. And I was the first one to mention that the Creek Nation candidates take a picture. Nobody wanted to take a picture, you know. I said I felt like that, you know, the Navajo Nation, they had so many people running for their council, and nobody knew who was who because everybody had almost the same name, like Yazzie and so-and-so, you know. And so then I asked the vendor, I said, is it possible that we could have pictures for our candidates? And he said, sure, we could do that. And he said, but no glamour shots. So, you know, we wanted the real thing, that, you know, everybody knows you, who you are, and things like that. So, but I was proud of being on the board. I really loved it. And so I hope that I made a difference in some way, somehow, you know.
Okay. Any questions?
I got a comment.
Ms.
Tiger was talking about she loved cooking and stuff. I know she can make good fry bread because she was in a fry bread contest at Top Taco Days, and I was a judge, and she got first place. So I'm going to be good.
I did it too for the Fall Festival too. In 2012, I did the fry bread contest, so. And I do cook pies. And right now, I'm helping the youth services group for their cultural camp, and I'm cooking their lunches for them this week. So they're ready. They're ready to eat. They want to see what's on the menu every day.
So are we.
Red beans and salt meat tomorrow.
Okay. Just moving forward, if you were to be reconfirmed for the election board, mm-hmm. what's
the most urgent change that you see immediately needs to happen?
I think we've always talked about having the mail-in ballot, you know, and the Chickasaws, they're the ones that has the absentee all around their nation, because they really get about 80% of their participation from their citizens. So we had talked about it once before, and we were on that pie chart where you have to see how many would vote as far as voting for the nation, and we were real low, and I would like to see that done. If we could just try it, see what the participation is, and knowing that, you know, if we get out there and tell everybody that 80% is good, if we can get all of our voters to come in and you know, I know that they still like the polls. I know that, and I think that absentee is the new technology as far as getting voters in, and I think that, you know, we as citizens know that you know, our vote counts everywhere it counts, you know, the vote counts, and so that's what I would like to see, that just if we could do a trial run at one time or another, you know, just to see how it works, maybe on a something on a question or whatever, you know, because sometimes the questions, if you don't understand the questions, you have to know exactly what it means, you know. And I think that's a lot of the scary thing about it for voters, because they're afraid that they're not going to vote for the right thing.
I don't know.
You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that would be my follow-up question, is how would you improve the absentee voting process to make voters feel more comfortable trusting the process? Because I personally believe that that's a problem that people don't
understand
and trust the process. Like, they think that ballots are getting stuffed or changed, or, you know, they just, like, once they mail, they don't even know if we get the ballots back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yes,
it just goes into somewhere, mm-hmm. and they hope that we got it, and they hope, you know. So how would you improve the accountability of the absentee voting to make the voters feel more confident?
I think, as usual, we always had a training process. And the training process, I think that even with the candidates, to know that they understand the process, and we have always had the training for them to see how the process works. Because when we do the absentee, at one time, the vendor, I asked him, I said, well, how is there another way that we could make it faster and easier for us? Because when I first got on the board, and that was back in 99, I think, and we were taking ballots in, and do you know how many times we touched that ballot? I counted 10 times, one ballot, and we were there all day long. So I asked our vendor, I said, is there a way that we could move that process along where we only touch it once or twice? Mm-hmm. Because I was scared of touching it all the time, because you never know, you know, somebody could drop a ballot, somebody say, well, that was there, you know, and there was so much problems with that, I felt.
Sure.
I felt it was a problem.
Sure.
So then after a while, he made it where we could only touch that ballot at least twice, and then it was counted. You know, because I felt like that we didn't need to touch those ballots that many times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought that basically we try to improve every step of the way before that ballot gets counted, you know. And we made sure that we had good workers. We made sure that every worker didn't interfere with the process, because I was actually in there, and I felt like that if I felt that person was not good enough to work for our elections, he didn't work next time. Because either they were talking about a ballot, and you don't talk about ballots when you're in the absentee, because you don't say, well, this one voted for here, you know, and you can't do that. And they are trained, they were supposed to be trained, so the next year, that person did not work, or she didn't work the next primary election, general election. And we had a checklist to make sure that they knew what the process was. And so I felt like that bringing it down to one or two times touching that ballot was the best that we could do. And not, you know, and then it's counted. And so our process went from all day long to about 3 hours. So we then, when we had the workers come in, we had them at 7 o'clock. They were going to work it from 7 to 7. So now we brought them in at 10 o'clock, and we worked 3 hours, 4 hours. But they had to stay there till 7. So, and it's really, I think that we really protect the ballot all the time. We do. We really protect the ballot because we don't want anybody to say, like if you said, it's way out there somewhere.
Right.
You know. And my thing was, when I was on the board, we always tried to push for an office, election office, so that it would be secured all the time. But that never did happen. So we're in that office. We were in that little office over there. So I go for procedures. I want to make sure that the procedures are working, and knowing that, you know, we can take care of everything. So that's my saying on that. Right.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes. What's the process, or what's the time frame, say on election day, and you've already received your absentee ballots? Between verifying those and the ballots that come in at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, at the time, we'd go to the mailbox on that day at 10 o'clock. That would be the last time, because they would fill the mailboxes there. And then from 10 o'clock on, that's when we would work on the ballots.
But you verify the absentee ballots? And
right.
Then what's turned in from the precinct?
From the precinct, all the precincts. We don't do the absentees that come in were actually from the mailbox to the office, and then from that time frame on, that's when we start working on them. So there's nothing in between. As soon as they get into the office, we start working on them. I think I understand what you're saying, yes.
Well, I just wondered, you know, say if you voted by absentee ballot, mm-hmm. and you decide you want to vote in person, you verify that you already sent an absentee ballot. Mm-hmm. That's
right. And if they go to the polling office, the secretaries that are working for that day, they verify the fact that you did not vote on that ballot, so that when you come to the poll office, well, then you can still vote. So we didn't get your ballot. It was absentee.
Thank you.
Representative Beaver.
Thank you. Ms. Tiger, do you know how the election board, how they verify addresses for the voters?
When they come in, like a person that comes in and wants to be a voter, well, that application that they have, they fill it out and they sign their name and make sure that that's the address they have. And so when we get ready to count the votes or verify signatures, we go back to those. They have folders for each district. So then they check back to that address or that name or whenever. And it's hard sometimes if some of the people don't change their addresses. But
so if they move, if they move, I guess it's up their responsibility, the citizen's responsibility to notify the election board that they have a new address. Mm-hmm. Does the election board, they send out any notices or anything, or reminders or anything like that?
Well, at the time when I was there, we tried to put on, we put it in a newspaper where all the citizens that had bad addresses to be sure and come in before an election, be sure and come in and change it. So, and we did get a good response at some of them that did change their addresses. But when they got to the polling place and they had a different address, they had a form for them to fill out to show that they had changed their address. The change in their address right then. So then it comes back to the office, and then that's when the clerks changes on their folder. And I think too that we always thought that made sure that they were changed. My idea was that if I happen to be back on the council election board, I would like to see on their folder when they change their address to put it in front of the folder. You know, like if we have to look them up and what day it was changed, how many times they moved, you know, each time. That way that would keep the records a little bit better, I think, in my opinion, you know. So if we have that update, that would make it a lot easier for the candidates that get not good addresses, you know, and that would show that, you know, how many come back because you have a bad address. So I think that would be a good system there, that if we had a change in the addresses, be sure to put it on the citizens folder, you know.
That would be the same with deceased,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I still have deceased people on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I think on that situation, we did work with Citizenship Board, and then we worked with Social Security, where they, you know, are deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the process is better now, but we did start that, you know, working on that with the Citizenship Board. So, and I think it will get better if we just, you know, keep at it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And could you come at pre-agenda on June the 17th at 9 o'clock? Same with Ms. Yola, the pre-agenda.
From planning to
something? Yes, okay. From planning. And
just making sure.
Make a comment. Okay. Next is NCA 17-075, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending Title 11, Section 6-303, entitled Audit. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
A motion to postpone indefinitely.
Motion by Mr. Barnett to postpone indefinitely. Is there a second?
Second.
A second by Representative Scott. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. NCA 17075 is postponed indefinitely. Next is NCA 17-084. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds for the benefit of the Muscogee Creek Nation's Tobacco Prevention Program in compliance with the Good Health and Wellness in Indian Country Grant, and further authorizing reimbursement of those expenditures from sub-award grant funds administered by the Southern Plains Tribal Health Board, Oklahoma Area Tribal Epidemiology Center. Sponsor is Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
I believe Ms. Feathers is here to speak to us. We'd like to use these funds to pay for the American Indian Adult Tobacco Survey. It will give us creek-specific tobacco use data. The last one we conducted was in 2012, and it'll just kind of keep us updated on any changes that are happening in Creek Nation, and it'll help our program with our strategic planning and program development.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NCA 17-085, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the City of Shakota. A sponsor is Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to defer Chad McCoy to come up. He's a recreation director over Shakota. Answer any questions, or I'll tell you a little bit about this, the appropriations.
Thank you.
Fine, thank you.
7 months ago, I'm over the Parks and Recreation there in Shakota, and when I first took it over last year, we had 44 kids active in baseball and softball programs. This year, we got 350, and next year, we're probably looking to have over 600 kids. A third of those are of Native descent, and we're just trying to upgrade the park, add more fields to accommodate the increase in kids that are coming. We're looking to build a T-ball complex, add 4 fields. The city has put in, $200,000 for fencing and lighting for the baseball side, and then we recently added, I believe, another $200,000 in asphalt to asphalt the parking lot. They've put in, I don't know how much money in dirt for the infield, softball, and baseball side. I mean, they are committed. I'm just seeking a little help. I got my budget, first time Park and Rec's ever had a budget there, and my budget's not going to allow me to be able to finish what needs to be started.
Any questions?
Awesome, man. I'd just like to comment. If you see in your packet the list of Native Americans that use this facility, and also we sponsored an appropriation for a walking track there, and that's still there, and we even have was it Representative Jones' kids, two or three kids that they play ball over there and stuff, and I'd just like to ask the supportive committee to vote yes and send this to the full council for a decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want me to show you on that paper what I got planned or where stuff's going to be? If you want me to, I can. Right here, all this stuff here has been removed, and I got fencing coming along through here. Well, this big part here is wide open. This is where I'm going to put my T-ball at. My quad like this down here, put it up here. I'm going to put a field here. The walking trails up this way, and then eventually in the future I want to extend it to walk around or, you know, encircle the sports complex to make the track longer, you know, a different scenery. In this area here I'm going to put an indoor hip facility. You know, I got big plans, but it's going to be a long ways down the line,
okay.
You know.
So the casino is
right across the road.
The casino's over
in
here.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay, I know where it's at.
I'm in talks with people putting on co-ed softball tournaments, anything like that. Anything we can do to bring people out and get them active, that's what I'm going to do year-round.
Okay.
We got soccer coming in here in between the baseball and softball complex. I'm bringing soccer in this fall.
Very good.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I have one question. I noticed that the majority of these kids are not Creek. Are you soliciting other tribes for funding?
I am not. I got about half the teams to bring in their documentation. The other half has not. And that's just what I got brought to me. The majority of people I know are Creeks. And then we, a couple weeks ago, this field right here, softball complex, Sam Harper always played and practiced on that field. He passed away, and I wanted to donate or sponsor, put his name on this field. Met his field one.
Are there more questions?
So what are your other sources of funding? Your proposal says that the fencing is going to be $200,000 and you request this for $10,000.
The fencing was not $200,000. The fencing was $48,000 to do around the baseball complex. The other $141,000, I believe is what it was for lighting on the baseball side. That's what's already been spent. The city pulled $200,000 out of the sinking fund in order to get fencing and lighting for the baseball side.
Okay, I apologize, I wasn't following you. Say that again. So they've already spent $200,000?
They've spent close to $400,000 out there.
Okay.
In asphalt and dirt work and lighting and fencing. And I'm looking for help to build this T-ball quad, give me more fields to accommodate kids coming. I got numerous teams from Muskogee that play in Muskogee right now. They're tired of Muskogee and they're looking for a new place to play. I got teams coming from as far away as Kyoto playing over here. And then we're going to host numerous tournaments this next year. Once our lights get installed on the baseball side, and probably gonna run probably two tournaments a month out there. So that's gonna bring a lot of people to the town.
Okay. Take that off.
Are there any more questions? None. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And I'm sure you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NCA 17-086. Law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to sponsor the United National Indian Tribal Youth Unity 2017 National Unity Conference. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Hello. Okay. As you guys know, our Muskogee Nation Youth Council is affiliated with Unity and the national organization. And today we have Ms. Tyler English Rush with us. She's one of the trustees for the Unity organization. So, questions that you might have?
I'll speak up a little bit about. I was involved with Unity in growing up as a youth, so I'm also an alumni of Unity, and then now serve on the board of trustees for Unity. And so. I know firsthand it's any investment that we receive or any sponsorship we receive is reinvested right back into our youth. And we have our national conference coming up this July in Denver. And it's just amazing to see the things that we're able to do. Every year we're just growing and growing, it seems like. And I'm just so amazed to see what our Creek Nation Council has achieved and had the opportunities to do. Last year we were awarded Youth Council of the Year at the banquet at the National Conference, and it's just been just really amazing to see all the things that we're doing and the opportunities that they're provided with. So I don't know if you wanted to say anything else.
Last year we were able to do the sponsorship, and the conference was in Oklahoma last year, and part of it was that there's 5 free sponsorships for the conference registration, and so we've actually were able to use that for some of our participants, and so that definitely comes in very helpful. That's one of the biggest expenses is the registration fee, and so having that available to our young people, we were actually even able to, we used it last year, we had 3 of our national council members who attended as chaperones, so we used it for their registrations. And then we were able to carry over 2 of those registrations to this year's conference to help out with those fees. So it really helps us be able to take the adults that we need to sponsor all of our young people.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
No questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Donnie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. You sent to BF&J for funding source. NCA 17-087, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the American Heart Association for the Go Red for Native Women Conference. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
We're going to defer to Ms. Rachel Crawford.
Hello, thank you for having me, Madam Chair. My name is Rachel Crawford, and I work with the American Heart Association. I've been there for about 5 years. I am Wichita, I'm Navajo. So I provide all the Native American outreach to the state of Oklahoma and now the state of New Mexico. We came to Muscogee Creek Nation, and we've done a number of health initiatives with the communities here and some of the other communities that we all serve. And so we are wanting to put on a Go Red for Native Women. This will be our second. You all sponsored 2 years ago, and we hosted that event at the Dome. We had over 250 Native women who attended. We worked a lot with your health division to incorporate local speakers to drive participation from the community members. We were able to provide health screenings as well as information around cardiovascular disease, which is their second killer, I believe, behind diabetes. Mm-hmm. So we are asking if you all would like to put on that event again this year at your Dome and to really encourage more of your citizens to come out and take advantage of that opportunity.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Any questions? Okay. Any questions? Anybody? Thanks for taking the time to be with us and explain. I know we did, you said, like 2 years ago.
Yes.
And a good time. So
we did. Yeah. Really great.
I'm grateful to have
such wonderful people to work with.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next is NCA 17-088, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 18, Section 2-404, entitled Doctorate Degree Program to assist Muscogee Creek citizens pursuing doctoral degrees under the existing postgraduate program. Sponsors Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
I believe Ms. Jerry is here to speak to this.
Oh, okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What we want to do is to have a limit on our funding per academic year. That way it would allow more students to be assisted by our program. And also that would keep us from coming back to the council requesting additional money for those students, because some of the costs for that tuition, books, and fees is really high. Mm-hmm. And for some of our students, it's not quite as much. But if we can get it down to, we're requesting $14,000 a year, and put a cap on at $7,000 per semester. That will cover our students for that academic year. Plus, if we pick up additional students, which we usually do because we have some graduating, that would cover them. We have about 75 students right now, so our program grows a little bit every year, so that, you know, that's really good. So for our doctoral students, you know, it takes about 6 years to complete their doctoral degree. So, you know, that's how long our students are on our program, and to make our monies meet for each year for the students. But also it allows us for that summer funding too that we always
run out of money, and which were in the same boat this year. Any questions?
No questions.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. MCA 17-089, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the National Indian Child Care Association. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
See Miss O'Neill here. Oh, I'm so sorry. You came in. You're right down the front row. Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, our National Indian Child Care Association holds its conference every other year. So this year it is going to be at the River Spirit. I sat on the board and I wanted it here in Oklahoma because we have about 39 tribes here that goes to our conference every year. We serve over 266 tribal programs throughout the nation that comes to our conferences. So, you know, we have a lot of tribal administrators that also come to see what we're doing, because a lot of times the tribal administrators don't know what child care actually does besides, you know, watch children. So we have a lot of administrators come, and this year, since we're having it here at the River Spirit, I have got a lot of the Muscogee Creek people to come in and help with some of the activities and things that we're doing. So we're just needing some little extra support because we're a nonprofit, and so whatever we raise throughout the years, it goes back into this conference to help all the tribes.
Right. When is this?
This is going to be in September.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a 3-day conference. We do have a brand new Office of Child Care Director in Washington. She just got appointed, so hopefully she will be able to come. We do have a lot of Office of Child Care people out of Washington that serves as our trainers and different areas that will be coming. So
that's good.
That will help a lot of our tribal members to meet with these people who make our rules and regulations for us.
Are there any questions? No questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you've got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Be sent to BF&J for funding source. Down to other business. We have Sarah Price from the STEP program. Would you like to come up?
So good afternoon, everyone, and I appreciate the opportunity to allow me to come and present. I won't take a lot of your time, but I did just want to give you, we have a folder here to give you some information about our STEP program. The STEP program is a 4-year grant that started in October of 2015, and it runs through September 30th of 2019. The STEP stands for the State Tribal Education Partnership. And with the things happening, the new changes in the law to the Every Student Succeeds Act, it's very important for not only the Department of Education, but tribal education as a whole. So I've included some of the objectives that we have here. The first page on your left-hand side is just kind of a one-page overview. One of the big targets that we have is cultural education, providing more resources, support systems for more indigenized instruction in schools and tribal resources, cultural responsiveness and awareness in public education. So behind that page is our Cultural Education Resource Council. Now, first and foremost, though, before I quickly talk about that, I do want you to know that the primary targets of the State Tribal Education Partnership Program is to increase collaboration between the State Department of Education, our tribal education agency, and local education agencies. We have done quite a bit in the Department of Education to support this. The next thing that we have is just the capacity building of the department and the tribe as a whole. We have a lot of resources that we will be getting out before the end of the year, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But in terms of increasing collaboration, we have Larissa Soap here. She is an education specialist that is working with two of our program cohorts, which are Wileka and Wetumpka Schools. In Wileka and Wetumpka Schools, they are supporting right now a Native Youth Council with the we're gracious to have support with Youth Services that has provided us some technical assistance about unity and what those leadership type of initiatives look like for those youth councils. We also have family engagement teams that we're working on there, trying to support parental collaboration with community centers, parents, involving families more in the opportunities and the happenings at the school. Alongside that, on the right-hand side, you'll see a little bit of information that was provided at our ESSA workshop. This is on behalf of National Indian Ed Association, NIEA. It tells a little bit about some of the breakdown of information about Oklahoma public schools. And behind that, there's a Dear Colleague letter. Some of you may have seen this before. This came directly from Department of Ed. It's regarding tribal consultations. Now, if you haven't heard about this in ESSA, the Education Act that President Obama signed in 2015, schools with $40,000 or more in Indian education funds or having a 50% more population in Native students are now having to consult with Indian tribes regarding Indian Ed and really all of their federal programs. So attached to that, I have included an LEA information request, which we have sent out to 34 schools within our tribal jurisdiction. I apologize, 32 schools. We have currently, Greg, Mr. Anderson, and I have consulted with, I believe, 16 or 17 of those schools thus far. We should be wrapping those up this month and into July. This information request is not on all of these federal programs. We were just looking at some of the services that we may be able to offer currently, and really just trying to gauge how they're using Indian education funds, what their total population looks like, who handles JOM, you know, how many certified staff and how many Native staff they have, how many Native educators, and really just looking at again some of the things that we might be able to provide support systems with. As well as that, I do want to mention that behind that there is a letter that was sent out, an executive report that was sent out regarding our Tribal Nations and Public School Collaborative Engagement Workshop. I know I saw Representative Barnett there. On April the 6th, I believe it was, we held the State Superintendent Hoffmeister called a grand and historic day. We had over 350 representatives from schools all over the state, as well as tribal representatives. I believe that 22 out of 39 tribes were represented, and over 200 schools. And this just provides a little bit of information about that day, as well as a follow-up. We gave out a survey, and I do want to mention also that it's pretty evident here within the survey, as well as what we're hearing from these schools, that cultural responsiveness and cultural sensitivity training for teachers and cultural support systems, cultural Native curriculum, Native studies, those are being asked of the tribe, and that is the things that we're trying to target within the STEP program. So consistently we're hearing those things from these schools, some of them even stating that they would love to have a Native Studies class, but in terms of having a tribal representative, they don't have one right now to teach that. So, you know, they want to be sensitive about what is appropriate and not appropriate. We also have our Cultural Education Resource Council is working on a cultural sensitivity training on August 7th that is happening in Wetumpka. Our CERC has members from the College of Muskogee Nation, Cultural Preservation, some elders on there, and some others that are supporting those projects. As far as TEA capacity building, we have began with the State Department's Indian Ed Resource Guide. And it is wrapping up right now. It's in the process of being printed. The Department of Education has an Indian Ed webpage that housed information, a document. Each tribe had a document of information on all 39 tribes within the state. There was a document with about 15 pages or so on Muskogee Nation, and unfortunately, up until today, it hadn't came from us. It came from a compilation of teachers that cohorted to provide information from what they researched about our tribe. Our Cultural Education Resource Council then took that ourselves and added information from the Challenge Bowl, the historical presentation that's offered to employees, and a variety of other resources, and we will be sending that back this month to the State Department for that. We have also came up with a Department of Education and Training Service Directory that will be sent out in the coming months regarding the programs. This will be sent out to schools, LEAs within the jurisdiction, regarding our services within the department and who to contact and managers and various things. We're also looking at tribal program knowledge. Larissa Christie, the other education specialist, unfortunately is not here today. But we have worked and collaborated alongside just within the tribe so that we know exactly what's happening too with behavioral health, transits, the Department of Ed programs, youth services, all of those things that we can offer within the schools. And then these, of course, these tribal consultations. Now, Secretary Anderson and I are keeping data on those as far as you know, quantitative data on how much funding they're getting, what that's being spent on, qualitative data on, you know, what are some of the practices that they're using, and also hoping to bring them back for another consultation overview in which we can share those best practices with those LEAs so that, you know, there's been a few large schools that have many, many things happening in Indian education, and then there's some other schools that say, well, you know, we're looking at tutoring and academic supports, and there's really no cultural education going on. So we want everybody to be able to become aware of, you know, exactly what's working in some of these schools. Glenpool has an outstanding program. You know, they offer Native Studies in K through 12, and they're all of them are engaged in Challenge Bowl. There's a multitude of options for students to be involved in Native activities. Other than that, I believe that's all of the information in the packet. But again, I just appreciate the opportunity. I did want you to just, you know, kind of see some of the things that we were working on and just really trying to build infrastructure in the Department of Ed so that now the citizens aren't just coming to us for supports, but we can really engage with these schools on a broader basis and bring them you know, what not only what we see as a need, but really what they're telling us is what is needed in their schools and for their students. So,
thanks for bringing all this information. It's very good. Are there any questions?
I'd just like to comment. You did have a good turnout in Tulsa. I was pleased to see that, and that you're doing this with meeting with the different schools and getting the information out to them.
Thank you.
It's real helpful for them.
Great. And if I can just comment one last thing. The Department of Education, the State Department of Education, seems to be very engaged with us right now. Our event that day not only has been referenced multiple times on emails that have been sent out from the State Department, but actually
yesterday the second draft of the state plan for the overall state plan that they're sending to DC was referenced as, again, a historical event where they're now consulting, the State Department is consulting with us. I believe we have their ear right now. The week before last, Greg actually spoke to the state board at their state board meeting, and they came to us afterwards, three of the representatives, and said they would love to be included further in more collaboration opportunities. So not only that, but I was asked to participate personally in the individual career academic plan on an advisory board, as well as I'm participating in the language arts state assessment standard setting process on a committee there, where I will be able to help develop those state standards on language arts and English assessments. So I think it's what's coming along. We're forming great relationships with our schools and our in the State Department, and we have a ways to go, but we're making great strides. So, again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Very informative. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Are there any announcements?
Joint meeting.
Yes, joint meeting tomorrow at 6, LNC and HEW, and then LNC will meet at 6:30 for their monthly meeting. Anything, Speaker? No. Motion for adjournment?
Second.
Motion by Representative Barnett. Second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. I would like to ask Representative Scott if he would give our benediction.
Our Father God, Lord, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless the nation and the citizens.